Patient, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongpineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Tim Miller on this Saturday morning. We got a special show for you coming up today. We'll be visiting here in just a few moments with Jeremy Holiday of the Kansas State High School Activities Association, and we'll be talking with him about officials. As we've heard over the years, the need for officials is great, and we'll talk to Jeremy and get an idea of what it takes to become an official and how you become an official, and hopefully rehash some of that information. And later on in the show, we'll be visiting with the new disc golf coach at Emporia State, Eric McCabe. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. Of course, I know he's excited. Talked with him earlier this week when Emporia State made the announcement that they were adding disc golf as a collegiate sport at Emporia State, and we'll talk with him about that and what it all entails and how soon they're going to get started, which is this fall.
Wow. Yeah.
I know they already have at least one tournament scheduled, and I'm sure there will be a couple of them that Emporia will be hosting during the year. And of course, Emporia kind of has claimed the moniker of disc golf capital of the world with Dynamic Disc, and of course one of the largest attended and participated in disc golf tournaments, Dynamic Disc Open. It's always a fun weekend for that. And, of course, we still have the World Pros coming to Emporia at the end of August, first part of September. And so a lot going on with that. And with that, we'll go ahead and jump into our interview with Jeremy Holiday. We're now visiting with Jeremy Holiday of the Kansas State High School Activities Association here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And just so people may know who we're talking to, if you've ever been to White Auditorium during the state basketball tournaments, you may have seen Jeremy at White Auditorium hanging around, not knowing who he actually was when you saw him there. But I know he's been to Emporia numerous times. And for our listeners' sake, what are some of the things that you're responsible for with the High School Activities Association?
Hey, yeah, appreciate you having me on today and talk a little bit about what we got going on. But I, at the High School Activities Association, I am in charge of the sport. I'm a sport administrator for baseball and softball, boys and girls golf. And so I work with all the officials in those sports, and then I also am in charge of media relations and marketing, sponsorships, and some communication things along those natures as well. But Emporia is a home away from home at some points of the year for a lot of the events that we put on. A lot of good people there that make it easy to come there and return there year after year to host our events. So appreciate everybody in the town.
Now, the reason I wanted to get somebody on from the High School Activities Association, I'm seeing a lot of tweets and a lot of stories about officiating, and more importantly, the lack of officials, the shortage of officials. And I thought I'd get somebody from the High School Activities Association on to talk about what it takes to become an official and maybe let people know just how dire of a situation High School Activities is facing with the shortage of officials. First off, Jeremy, how bad is it? How short is the High School Activities Association for officials? How dire is the need?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can give you anything, just a number that's an X. This, we need to reach this so we're not in dire straits anymore. But just anecdotally, when we have this past spring, everybody knows spring in Kansas, let's talk baseball and softball. it's a journey to complete a schedule just with Mother Nature being involved. So we've had games, though, unfortunately, this past spring that were canceled because we had no umpires to work the game. So that when you talk dire, to me, that's the clean-cut answer right there. When you don't have enough umpires, or in a lot of cases, especially in certain parts of the state, where, okay, we can play, but we only got one. We only got one umpire tonight. Then it's certainly dire. And we've got officials in Western Kansas on Friday night football weeks where they're working two games in one night, where they're working a game. They start at like 4:30, work a game, drive an hour, and work another game. So talk dire, yeah, we're there. And that's not something that we like to see, because then the product for the kids, ultimately that's what it rebounds to, is the kids that are participating in the event are negatively impacted. When kids, the number one reason kids play sports is to have fun and play the game. Well, when they're not playing the games, they're not having any fun. So that means they're not going to keep on going out for the sport, so your participation drops. And, you know, fundamentally the mission of that High School Activity Association is participation, because we believe participation in our activities builds a better human being in the long run. So the dire is that we are not playing the games in some cases because we don't have the officials. And it's something that it's not new. It's been steady trend for a handful of years, and we like to think we're getting a little bit better, but we still need a lot of room for improvement.
Jeremy, is the shortage of officials, is it across the board in virtually every sport? Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, I wouldn't say right now that we have a sport that is figured it out in that sense of, hey, we're all good here, no problems in this sport. So it's everywhere. So the good news about that is, if you're someone that has a passion for a sport, there's an opportunity for you to officiate.
When it comes to officials, is there an age requirement? Or I know you'd probably like to have that particular official maybe at least at the a college student at the very least.
Well, yes, for sure, especially when you're talking about the varsity level. But I'll tell you, we have a very nice young gentleman that, and we just did a story on here from our office in Oskaloosa. He knew that officiating was going to be something he was going to do in the future when he was done playing. So he just went ahead and got started when he was in high school and worked a lot of junior high games. Age restriction, black and white? No age restriction. We do have several teenagers that register with us because they do intramural type stuff or junior high type games, so they can get their feet wet and know if they really like it or not, and then progress once they get older. So we'll take them young and get their feet wet so we can get them in the door, and then they can just become, when it's really time to hit the varsity level, they're geared up and ready to go.
Jeremy, I guess the obvious question here is, why and how have we gotten to this point, shortage that we're facing?
You know, and I'll say the easy answer for me is, I don't really know, because if I knew, we'd get it fixed and we wouldn't have this problem, right? But it's really complex. I think there's a myriad of reasons, but I will tell you the number one reason that is reported to us as to why officials do not come back, or in this case, my previous example of kids that get started maybe when they're in high school, is they have a really bad experience on the field or court their first year, and it's just not worth their time and mental health to come back. And when I say bad experience, it's typically from fan interactions, spectators, parents, or coaches just don't really show them the respect they deserve when they're there, and so they just don't come back. And that's the number one reason reported to us time and time again.
And I guess from a fan standpoint, we need to remember that the officials aren't, this isn't their full-time job.
This isn't their what they're dedicating their life to. They're going to make mistakes, and yeah, there are probably some officials who maybe abuse their power, but that's a very, very, very few who may do that. But for the most part, the reason that they're doing it is so that the youngsters, the kids, male or female, whatever sport it is, they have a chance to compete in that sport. And for a lot of them, I know, in talking to some of them, it gives them an opportunity to stay connected with the sport.
Exactly. That's a huge reason to do it. It's for those people. There's really two categories that we really focus on. It's for the kids that just got out of high school, and I'll throw a stat out at you. 97% of high school athletes have a terminal experience with the last buzzer or whistle or out of their sport. So what I mean by that is when they're done their senior year playing whatever sport it is, they'll never play it again, 97% in the country. So for those 97%, a really good way to stay involved is to officiate. And so that's a target audience we certainly think is really beneficial for the game. And then the other one is it's those parents that saw their kids just graduate high school. They're all done, empty nesters, if you will. They're established in the community. They're not moving anywhere, obviously. And now they're like, hey, what do we do? What do we do on Friday night? What do we do on Tuesday night now? We've been sitting in the gym for the last 4, 5, 10 years. Well, hey, maybe officiating is something you could take up. I know it sounds crazy to say. Can't imagine getting on the basketball court with my wife and officiating. That'd be kind of interesting. But we definitely do have some couples out there that have registered together. So it's those are our two demographics that I think really would benefit our numbers as far as trying to encourage people to, this is an avocation that would be good for you. Because you're right, it's not a job. We're not asking you to dedicate your life to it. We're just asking for a little time and something you would enjoy, some exercise. And, oh, by the way, you're going to get paid to do it. And they are humans. There's someone that just got off their 9-to-5, probably left their 9-to-5 fairly early, to be honest with you, gave up a couple hours of salary to come work that basketball game on Tuesday. So fans need to realize that they're just like them, got off work to come here to enjoy a game just like you. I'm a team on the court just like the other two teams, and we're going to work together to provide a positive experience for the kids.
And Jeremy, I guess it goes back to something that you've already mentioned. What fans need to understand is we're losing an opportunity for kids to participate if we can't get officials to officiate the game. So, I guess you need to make a choice. You want to have an interaction with an official, or do you just want to go enjoy watching your kid play and not take the risk of having no officials to officiate the game?
That's exactly right. It's that simple sometimes. It's, hey, do you still want to have an opportunity to go watch your kids play a competitive high school sport? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. Then when you show up, then watch the game, encourage those that are on the floor, everyone alike, your team, their team, and the officials. Go out of your way to thank them a little bit. Thank them for, hey, I know you missed dinner tonight with your family to be here, so thank you. And that's something we could all do a little bit more of.
The thing that it comes to mind every time I start talking about the subject of fan officiating interaction, a number of years ago, a gentleman from the NAI put on a program at Emporia State with the coaches and talked about the different roles that you could play at an athletic event. Of course, one of them is the participant, a player, an athlete. Another one is a coach. Another one is a referee, and the other one is a fan. Now, you can only do one of those four when you're at that game. If you're in the stands, don't try to be the coach. Don't try to be the player. Don't try to be the official. Just be the fan cheering on the kids in the stands, and let the coach be the coach, let the player be the player, and let the official do the officiating.
Yeah, I think we have the discussion all the time here in the office, the moans and the groans and the instant reaction of, oh, no, you know, or something like that, whether it's towards an official or even towards the coach that's coaching your kids' team, those are human instinct. Right? I don't think we'll ever eliminate that, right? And that's just part of sport, we'll say. But it's that extra. It's that I'm going to keep on it and keep on it and go even further to when we see a viral video. That's the stuff that is not tolerated and cannot be tolerated if we want to continue to play high school sports. And so, to your point, yes, but stay in your lane almost. Is that right? Is
that that's basically it.
So, Jeremy, if we have someone listening and they have thought about becoming an official, how do they go about it? What do they need to do?
Yeah, best way is to go to arcasha.org, KSHSAA.org. We have an officials tab, and you can click on the new officials tab, and we have various amounts of information, probably too much information a little bit, but we want to make sure you're informed about what it is to be an official. And quite simply, let's say someone wants to officiate high school football, they would go to that website, they would register with us. We have a $55 registration fee, but with that gets you training materials, rules books, get you set up with insurance in case you were to get hurt while working. We'll have supplemental insurance for you. And then we'll put you in touch with someone local so they can help you get going, get started, get you games, mentor you. So all those things are going, and then once you get locked up, they'll get you a schedule work games, and you'll be on your way to the two fundamental things we require are a rules test. You have to take a rules test, and you have to attend a rules meeting. Those are it, two things to officiate high school football or whatever sport you like. And we'll get you going, and you'll be involved in the game you love and making a little extra money if you like something like that. And it's pretty simple, and something we certainly encourage. And then you'll be part of a fraternity that is unlike any other in the state. You know, we just had our officials advisory committee in here a couple weeks ago, and someone said, you know, if I broke down, my car got a flat tire on any highway in the state of Kansas, I could call somebody that I'm related to and officiate, and they would come help me, and I them. So it's a pretty special group to be part of.
Well, and the other thing too, if you're somebody that's thinking about getting into officiating, and you don't want to start out as a varsity official, there's a lot of junior high games, there's a lot of freshman JV games that need officials for as well. So you don't have to start off as a varsity official. You can, if you want to, just work your way up the ladder, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's tons of opportunity that can make you better before you get put on a high-pressure varsity stage, potentially. What we like about that is that's where you should start. You should start at those levels, because it just hopefully it creates a better experience so you're well-prepared. And I think maybe that's another reason why some people maybe get out early, is because they, for whatever reason, they didn't get some varsity games, and they felt like they didn't want to work the junior high or the JV games. Well, the reality is everyone's got to start somewhere and prove themselves and get to a point where they can have a great experience. And great experiences come from knowledge and education. So it's all part of the process.
And you never know. You might find out, hey, I enjoy officiating these junior high games.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, getting back to the training and the education that you give the officials, are there camps that you put on or that are available for people to go to, officiating camps to maybe get a start at? Because I know at some of the basketball camps, like at KU and some of those other places, I know they bring officials in and let them work. And I know there's some other opportunities where officials can work on some things and get maybe a little bit of coaching from more experienced officials. Are there those type of things that are available for officials?
Yes, absolutely. We, for just about every sport that we have officials in, the KSHSA will help sponsor or put together, operate clinics and camps for that sport. And in addition to that, what the little bit of peek behind the curtains about how things work with the high school athletics is each league. So Olpe, Emporia High, they obviously belong to a league, okay? So each of those leagues has a league commissioner that is essentially their main task is to assign the officials for every game that goes on with that school. And so through that, they obviously need a bank of names to choose from. And they need, so what they'll do is they'll obviously look for all the registered officials in their area. And sometimes with the number, they have to, their Emporia's area could be Kansas City, you know, that type of stuff. So what they would, what they'll do is they'll contact all those, hey, and they'll sponsor cancer clinics. They'll go, hey, we're going to, Olpe is having a scrimmage, Saturday, whatever day it is. And we're going to, in conjunction with that, we're going to have some experienced officials there to show up, get some work in, and we'll help train you and mentor you about, how the game should be officiated. So, and that goes on all throughout the state. League commissioners do a great job. They have a very tough job, but they all do a pretty solid one to help us out and to help our high schools out.
So, again, if somebody is interested in becoming official, who do they need to contact or where do they need to go to get signed up and get the ball rolling?
Yeah. Well, you could always call our office, 785-273-5329. And talk with someone about becoming an official, and we'll gladly take you through that process and give you any tips, tricks, or advice. Or you could go directly to our website, kshsaa.org, and go to the officials tab, and then click on new officials, and there'll be information on how to get registered and get you going.
Well, Jeremy, we appreciate you taking time out and visiting with us today, and hopefully we've maybe encouraged a few people to explore the possibility of officiating and maybe encourage people to be maybe a little more aware of how they cheer on their son or daughter at athletic events and maybe be more respectful towards officials. And that way we won't have to worry about the officiating shortage and don't have to worry about, okay, well, we were scheduled to play this game tonight, but we don't have officials, so this game is canceled. And that's, I know that's the last thing that anybody wants to have happen is have events canceled, but we've already seen, as you've mentioned, there have been events that have been canceled due to the lack of officials already in the state of Kansas, and hopefully we can maybe inspire a few people just to give it explore that possibility.
Yep. State of Indiana, much larger state than us, obviously, but they had over, in 1 week this spring, they had over 100 games canceled because of no officials.
Wow.
So that's something we don't even want to touch, and we're not there yet. We're not even close to that. I don't want to scare anybody. But it's also something percentage-wise we know we could approach if we don't keep on trying to spread the message, and I appreciate you guys taking time to allow that to happen.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yes, thanks, Jeremy. That is Jeremy Holliday. He is the Assistant Executive Director with the High School Activities Association. Again, you just go online, Kansas State High School Activities Association. You can type it up in Google, and it'll take you to their website, and then just look for the officials, and you can get more information there. When we come back, we'll have more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongmontAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Tim Miller. And here in just a few moments, we'll be joined by Eric McCabe, the new disc golf coach at Emporia State University, and just a little more on the officiating aspect. Hopefully, for those that do officiate and do I won't say necessarily volunteer their time because they do get paid for officiating those games. Thank you for what you do, and we do appreciate you allowing the youngsters to compete. And if it's something you ever thought about doing, get a hold of, just go to the High School Activities Association website. That's kshsaa.org, and look for the officials tab, and that'll let you figure out how to get started being an official. There's multiple sports. It's not just football and basketball, baseball and softball. There's soccer, there's volleyball, there's even track and field and cross country officials that are needed. So there are wrestling officials. So there are a lot of sports that the High School Activities Association sponsors, and they all need officials to help make those sports go. And if you're interested, please explore those. It might be a good side job to get a hold of. With that, we say good morning and welcome to Eric McCabe, the new Emporia State disc golf coach. He joins us on the Settleton studio line with free in-store pickups available on thousands of items when you buy online at Settleton's. And I asked you this question the other day during the press conference. When you got involved with disc golf and got this far along, did you ever envision yourself being called Coach Eric McCabe?
Oh, man, absolutely not. That was, back then, I hate to say it like that, but back then there weren't teams, It was basically it was the Wild Wild West back then when it came to disc golf. So being a coach now and especially being tied with Emporia State University is such a thrill and an honor.
Well, first off, getting a disc golf team started at Emporia State, how special is that for you?
Very special. Being able to kind of being out front of everything and kind of being, the pioneer, so to speak, of, there, like I'd mentioned in the presser, we do have other universities that have teams and all that, but it's more clubs than actually, being a part of the collegiate program with scholarships and with goals set in place and actually having an actual coach come in. So, having this be at Emporia State University is kind of icing on the cake for me.
Eric, I mean, you mentioned the fact that there are not a lot of universities that have it as an actual sport. It's more of a club. I mean, how many other universities are doing this where they're actually making it part of their athletic department?
Not very many. I honestly couldn't even give you a number on that. That's kind of why we're getting involved. It helps the professionalism of the sport, and I definitely see other universities following suit with what we're doing right here in Emporia, Kansas.
Well, the thing that I noticed this past spring is there is a national competition for disc golf, and you see universities, and granted some of them are, as you mentioned, just club sports, and they go and compete in these national championships. It's not an NCAA sponsored event yet, but I'm guessing if you have anything to say about it, it might be here in the next maybe 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely, that's the goal, right? Yeah, we definitely want to get some recognition from the NCAA and make it an official sport. I mean, the sky's the limit, really, when it comes to disc golf here this time of year. I mean, it's over the past few years, the sport has really just evolved and really just taken flight, so to speak. No pun intended, but yeah, it's great. And hopefully the NCAA will listen to us and get us and make us official,
So tell us about the startup of a program. I mean, how do you go about even like recruiting? Where do you go looking for players?
there's a lot of places that we can go. I've honestly already been getting phone calls and emails and text messages from players that are, talking about, hey, I want to come play for Emporia State. You know, I see some big things happening here. I want to move to Emporia, Kansas. I want to transfer from whatever school I'm in now. There's a lot of that. They're going to come to me, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out to these junior world championships. There's juniors events all over the world, and see if we can't just go recruit some of these high school kids that are looking for a future in education, but are also wanting to do something in sports, and in disc golf, obviously being that one sport that we're talking about here.
Well, I heard a story, and I don't know the person's name, but they came to Emporia, played in a tournament here, liked it, and then decided to enroll at Emporia State. Now they have a way that they can, you know, take their joy of playing disc golf and maybe get a chance to get some of their education paid for.
Yes, absolutely, with some scholarships that we have going. And what better place than Emporia, Kansas? You know, Emporia's really taking disc golf to that next level. We have more courses per capita than anywhere. We have the quality courses, you know, from beginner all the way up to a couple true championship-level courses. And I spoke with Chris Herrig over there at the Emporia Country Club, and we're talking about having the Emporia Country Club potentially being our course for our kids to go out and train on. And what better course than one of the toughest courses in the world for training grounds for these guys and gals to get very, very good.
So, Eric, tell us how all this came together.
Yeah, so I was actually, I'd heard word of it over the past year that this is something that the university was looking at doing, and you know, it wasn't super on anybody's radar. But I was actually up in Alaska running an event a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, and I got a phone call from Doug Bierkus, our president over at Dynamic Discs, and he said Emporia State reached out to him and was ready to move forward and see if one of our guys wanted to be a coach. And my name was on that list from Jason Santangelo, who used to work with us but now works over at Emporia State, and I was his number one guy. And you know, it made a whole lot of sense. It was a no-brainer for me, and there wasn't a whole lot of thinking that needed to be involved, and just more of an honor than anything.
Now, obviously, it's not going to take a whole lot of money to get the program up and going. You don't have to buy a bunch of equipment, and you don't have to do a lot of things like with a football team or those type of things. But to be able to offer scholarships is a big plus, and I guess a big thank you to the city of Emporia as part of their commitment to Emporia State University, included $50,000 towards starting up the disc golf program, and that'll go a long way in getting a number of people signed up for the team.
Absolutely will. The city of Emporia, absolutely, their contribution is going to be huge. And Dynamic Discs is also going to go ahead and provide bags for these players, apparel for these players, some discs for them as well. So, you know, without the help of the city of Emporia, Dynamic Discs, none of this could even be happening right now. We wouldn't even be talking about this right now if it wasn't for those two. And obviously Emporia State as well for having the vision and believing in this.
So, Eric, what about putting together a schedule? How is that all coming together?
It's coming. It's a little slow right now. I have a meeting on Monday to kind of iron out all the details. We have some irons in the fire, so to speak. And we have an event coming up in late August, actually, that I'm hoping to make it down in Winfield, Kansas. It's a collegiate event that the winner of that actually gets an open invite down to the national championship in April. So I'm really hoping to have a team together by then. It's kind of right around the corner, but I've got my eyesight on a few players to get down to that event. And you know, through the spring, obviously there's a lot of events, and even just the events that we have here in Emporia, you know, getting the players out for that. And you know, it's all about that experience and having that tournament experience that'll really help you evolve into a really good quality player.
So tell us in terms of the season, in terms of the makeup of the program, when does the season start? When does it end? How many events would you like to end up scheduling in a perfect world?
Yeah, perfect world. I'd like to make it to a tournament for these guys and gals. I would say you know, a couple times a month going to be traveling out to events that are just specific collegiate related. Now, we have a bunch of leagues and all that that I'm going to have them playing in here in Emporia, but the season is forever long. I mean, it's, you know, the PDGA season, if that's what we're going to be following, it basically, there's tournaments every single weekend for every week, all 52 weeks of the year. So there's really no off season. It's a lot like hockey where you get like very, very small downtime and then you're right back at it. So, you know, it kind of travels through the South in the winter where it's a little bit warmer that we can travel down to Texas and Florida and hit up some of those events. But, as far as the collegiate style of an event, I think 12 to 15 is a good goal to get these players out to.
As far as the makeup of the team, how many golfers are you anticipating or viewing as to make up this team?
Yeah, we're looking at around 12 players that'll be on the scholarship program, and as many that, you know, we want to have involved on the actual club side of things, kind of helping combine those two things together. So we're looking at like eight guys and six ladies that'll come out and compete for national championship here coming up in the future.
Eric, I mean, is Emporia State the first university in Kansas to have this as part of their athletic department, or do you know of other schools who have already done this?
Emporia State's definitely the only one that's been offering scholarships for disc golf, so you know they're kind of innovative on that end. I know Fort Hays State has a club that has a team, Wichita State as well. So majority of the colleges, I know Lawrence has one, Manhattan. So all the colleges have these clubs, and they haven't quite got inside yet. And props to ESU for having that vision and being the pioneer of this. And hopefully other universities will be following suit here soon.
Well, Eric, first off, again, congratulations on being selected the first. You'll be the answer to the trivia question, who was the first disc golf coach at Emporia State University? And that answer will be Eric McCabe, and congratulations on that. And I know you have to be excited about expanding disc golf because, boy, has, you know, the last 5 to 10 years, disc golf, at least in this area, has really exploded. I know it's been around for a long time, but it has really taken off, at least in this area. And you're probably seeing even it nationwide, the interest in disc golf has really exploded over the last couple of years. And it's exciting to see it to continue to grow. And that's what the Emporia State's going to allow to do, is the sport of disc golf to grow. And and you find out that it's not just a bunch of guys throwing frisbees around like some people
Absolutely.
Think it is. It's a lot more going into it than what a lot of people realize.
Absolutely is, and you're right. It is growing everywhere. I mean, across the world, it's really, you know, we're seeing huge growth. And but I'll be honest, nobody is doing it like Emporia, Kansas. So,
well, it's pretty exciting, Eric. Again, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
And good luck, and I liked your goal, national championship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's bring a national championship right back here to Emporia State.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
You got it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
That's Eric McCabe, who's the new head disc golf coach at Emporia State University, joining us this Saturday morning on the Sutherland studio line. And you can hear the excitement in his voice of being able to put together a team and, you know, bring a new light and new vision to disc golf, a new avenue to make it maybe something down the line that the NCAA says, hey, there's enough interest here for both men and women to host and to sanction national competitions, and to bring it under the umbrella of maybe NCAA-sanctioned competition at the national level. And right now, that's not the situation. It's not the disc golf is not a sanctioned sport by the NCAA. It's more regulated by the clubs and by the schools that participate, and I'm sure they'll do a very good job of making sure that everybody follows some rules so that everybody's playing on a level playing ground. Now, there might be some schools saying Emporia State doesn't play on a level playing ground because they've got so many disc golf courses they can choose to play on and probably so many good players to choose from, but it's going to be exciting to see how this sport develops.
Well, I think it was, you know, just a matter of time before you began to see things like this, you know, begin to happen with the way this sport has blown up. I mean, with all the, you know, the juniors competitions, the pro competitions. I mean, I think it was just a matter of time. And it's just pretty exciting that Emporia is at the forefront of this and certainly should be with the emphasis that disc golf has been placed on in this community. And so very really cool. And I would anticipate you're going to see more universities down the road begin to make this part of their athletic department.
And then I wouldn't be too surprised if somewhere down the road that high schools start getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if your community has a disc golf course and most of the disc golfers already have their own discs and their own equipment, the only thing you might have to provide are some polo shirts and, of course, insurance and those type of things. But in my mind, it would not be a hugely expensive sport to add to your list, except for it's just another sport to add to the list.
Well, and it's very rare where you drive around this community and don't see people on a disc golf course.
Yes.
And all different ages. I mean, it's very rare where you don't see them out there playing. So it's just neat. Obviously, now at the collegiate level, and you mentioned the high school level, it just gives more opportunity. Yeah. So,
well, we've got a few more moments left. We need to get our second break in. We'll take our second break. We'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, as we are down to our final 5 minutes of this morning show. Kansas City Royals last night walk it off against the Cleveland Guardians.
Well, it's good to see them pull a game out like that, as opposed to giving one away that we've become so accustomed to.
Yeah, happened.
Yeah, nice win.
Yeah, they were just wrapped up a four-game series in Houston, and of the four games they played, they had the lead in all four of those games early on, and won.
How many of them?
Just one.
Yeah,
just one of them. But last night, here's the other interesting note for last night's game for Cleveland. That's the first time this season where they had the lead in the seventh inning that they lost.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, I saw a stat the other day where if the Royals had won games when they scored four more runs, if they had the same winning percentage that Major League Baseball has when a team scores four or more runs, the Royals would be right at 500 right now and would certainly be in the thick of that division. But unfortunately, they just give so many games away in the last few innings, and makes it a little disheartening. But yeah, good win last night, and maybe they can get a little momentum going and play a little bit better baseball. Of course, the All-Star break right around the corner.
And they announced the starters for the All-Star game. No Royals, no surprise there, are in the starting lineup. Normally, Salvador Perez would be in the running, but he would finish third among catchers. So, he's been off and on injured. He's now out with an injury, so he wouldn't be able to play anyway in the All-Star game. It'll be interesting to see who they select from the Royals.
I would guess it would be Benintendi. I think that he would be the representative. That would be my assumption. And then I don't know how much longer he'll be in Kansas City after the All-Star break. Yeah. But I would think he would be probably the guy in line to represent Kansas City.
They might even look at Scott Barlow, who has, I think, yep. 13 saves now, so he might be a possibility. He earned the win last night, even though he got himself in a little bit of a jam in the ninth inning. He was able to get out of it.
I think there's your two possibilities right there, Benintendi and Barlow. I don't think it goes much further than that.
Yeah, and you mentioned the trade deadline coming up. Of course, Benintendi's name's been thrown out there. Maybe even Michael A. Taylor or Whit Merrifield's name's been rolled around a little bit.
Barlow has as well.
Barlow as well. So it'll be interesting. You know, both J.J. Pecola and Dayton Moore have said they need to be more transactional, and we'll find out if they become more transactional as we go along. They've already traded Carlos Santana to Seattle, but haven't done anything since then, and so it'll be interesting to see if the Royals do much of anything. The ones that have still some control are the ones that are a little more attractive, but sometimes if a team is in the hunt and they know they might have a need somewhere down the line, they might just take a shot at the guy for 1 year. Royals did it in 2015 with Johnny Cueto and Zobrist, and it paid off for them then, so we'll have to wait and see if anybody takes any shots or makes a run at any of the Royals who are on their roster right now. The Yankees have been mentioned as far as maybe Benintendi or.
And I saw something else the other day where the Dodgers may have some type of an interest in both Benintendi and Barlow. So,
we'll just have to wait and see. Something that did slip by me, because they don't do a very good job of promoting the fact that it's coming up. The Sunflower State game's getting underway this weekend. There are 25 of the events. This first weekend's usually the big weekend. Then the next 3 weekends is when they'll have competition, and a lot going on this week, from a 5, 10K, archery, axe throwing, team competition, badminton, baseball. The Emporia Reds 8 and under team will be competing in that. There's adult basketball, some boxing, golf, jiu-jitsu, judo, martial arts, miniature golf, orienteering, powerlifting. There's shooting and sporting clays and trap shoot. I know there are some Emporians that will be competing in that one. Indoor soccer, table tennis, tennis, track and field, adult volleyball, youth volleyball, weightlifting, and wrestling all going on this weekend. And speaking of wrestling, I came across this as well. A couple of Emporia wrestlers will be headed to the Junior Nationals up in Fargo, North Dakota. Is Eric Tung, your uncle, and Matty Griffin will be heading up there from Emporia, competing in those competitions later in, I think it's next weekend is when they get underway up in Fargo. So we wish them well as well. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. A big thank you to Jeremy Holliday with the Kansas State High School Activities Association. And again, if you have feel like officiating is something you want to explore and not sure how to get started, just go to the High School Activities Association website. That's kshsaa.org. And there's across the top, you'll see a couple things, and one will say officials. Just click on that, and it'll tell you how you can get started. Or if you know an official, visit with them on how to get started, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to help you get started, whatever sport it is you want to be an official in. And also thanks to Eric McCabe for joining us today, and congratulations to him being selected the Emporia State Disc Golf head coach, and good luck to Emporia State's disc golf team once they get it put together and start competing and start making a run at a national championship.
Yeah, it's really going to be fun to watch it from the ground up. See how
yes,
it
comes
is. Together.
Yes, it is. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thanks to Tim Miller. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia. AM 1400, KVOE Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.